I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down.
All right, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, will be with you for the next hour. And second hour, I've got, we're going to talk about the Real ID Act, because we've been hearing about this, and they, according to the last I heard, they had this targeted for May of 2008, and then I had heard something about them extending it to December of 2008, which would tell me that they're getting a lot of feedback or a lot of objection to this. And so I thought I'd have somebody on here who is an expert on this. This gentleman, Mark Lerner, he was privy to CEOs, chairmen of the board and corporations on the Real ID Act, knows all about it, knows the ins and outs of it, knows what we should be concerned about, knows what we can do to try to do something about it. So without any further ado, even though this is a short segment, I'm going to bring up Mark Lerner. Mark, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Mark, I want you, for the sake of my listeners, the ones that don't know, a lot of us do know about the Real ID Act, but what I'd like you to do is walk us through, tell us how it came into play, or what they're doing behind the scenes, and how close we are to it. I mean, just walk us through this whole thing, Mark, and bring us up to speed, if you would.
Sure. The Real ID Act was passed into law in May of 2005. It was introduced, Sensenbrenner introduced it. It passed with virtually no objection. It got through the Senate 100-0. The reason being, it was added to a tsunami relief and a military spending bill. And at that time, nobody was opposing, there wasn't as much opposition to the war. So there was no problem getting the spending bill through, and obviously nobody was going to object to tsunami relief. Real ID was passed in the middle of the night by being added to those two pieces of legislation. Now, from there, you have to go backwards instead of forwards, and that's a big part of the story. If you listen to the Department of Homeland Security, you would believe that the Real ID Act was a result of a 9/11 commission recommendation, and it had everything to do with 9/11, and it's all about security. That's if you believe the Department of Homeland Security. The reality is this. In 1986, the Commercial Driver's License Act was passed. That act called for the use of biometrics. But at that time, biometrics weren't ready. The technology wasn't ready. So the way they wrote the act allowed for, in the future, biometrics to be added to CDL's licenses. Now, what's important to understand about this is the organization that sets the minimum standards for driver's licenses now in the United States is called the AAMVA. And what this is it's an agency that pretends to be an American agency. But if you go to the AAMVA website, what you will see on the home page is a little banner that reads, "We are an international organization serving law enforcement."
Wow. Okay, listen, Mark, we got to take a break here, and then we're going to have a long segment coming up. So stick with us. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening. This is fascinating, folks. Stick with us. Call your friends and neighbors. Get them on the line here. We're going to find out some background about the Real ID. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
The American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona with my special guest second hour, Mark Lerner, talking about the Real ID Act. And I tell you what, right, I'm already astounded, Mark, because, yes, you know, along with everybody else, I'm thinking, okay, well, 9/11, yeah, the Real ID Act, so they can spot terrorists or blah, 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 and make sure you're not a terrorist. But yet this goes back all the way to 1986. They've been planning to implement this situation because of the technology that they wanted to market. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what and it gets better. Let me give you a little history about these biometric companies. The largest biometric companies in the United States have been losing money year after year, especially since 2001. Largest company, Identity Solutions, has not been profitable 1 year since 9/11. Now, what happened is they invested a lot of money in research and development, trying to produce a better product. They also invested a great deal of money in marketing. But what happened was the money they expected to get after 9/11 was diverted in 2003 towards the war in Iraq, which is why a lot of the federal dollars that would have been used for various programs, there are even more programs out there than most people realize. There's TWIC. Which is transportation.
Okay, let me stop you. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm on a regular phone.
Okay, I was getting some interference. Maybe it's on my end. I don't know. But at any rate, go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
No,
let's see if it's better.
What I was going to say is there's been a an effort in this country going back years to create what amounts to an international biometric identification system. Now, some people think, well, now, wait a minute, he must be one of these conspiracy guys, black helicopter guys, whatever. I am not. I want to read you an exact quote, okay, and this comes from Robert Mockney. He is a deputy director of Department of Homeland Security. And he was addressed or asked this question about the creation of international databases and the sharing of information. His direct quote is, "We are in the process of biometrifying," and there's no such word, he used it, "biometrifying a good portion of the world's population." In addition, he states without question, okay, that the idea of not sharing biometric data, okay, it's not even a question. His response is, quote unquote, "How is it ethical not to share?" And he goes on to add that he sketched a federal plan to extend biometric data sharing to Asian and European governments and corporations, by the way. Now, here's what we've got. Here's the picture. We've got an industry that's been losing money year after year. There are some very wealthy people that are involved in this industry, people that we're not talking about worth $10, $20, $50 million. I'm talking about $100 million and up. These people expected to make a lot of money, especially after 9/11, that these technologies would be used. They haven't been used to the extent they had hoped. Their stocks have gone way down. They got desperate. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, they understand that whenever we want information from other countries, they're going to expect reciprocal agreements where we provide that information from our country. Now, what's happened is we were the first ones. We did it after 2001. We mandated an e-passport act. The e-passport act required that people that came from roughly 26 other countries that weren't required to have passports to enter the United States, okay, or weren't required to have visas to enter the United States, would start using what's known as an e-passport. This is a passport with an RFID chip and your facial and your fingerprint biometrics. So when we mandated that other countries did it or had to do it to come to the United States, obviously we had to do the same thing. That's why we created our own e-passport. For people who haven't gone to get a passport in the last year, when you go now, this is the reason for the delay. This new passport is much more detailed.
Mark, stop for a minute. Stop. I don't know. Did you say you were on a cell phone? Because you're breaking up, and it sounds like you're going through one of those things that causes you to sound like a robot.
A problem.
I don't know if it's your cell phone or you're not on Skype, right?
Is that any better?
Okay, let's try it like that and see how it works. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
The point being here, when we ask other countries to participate in programs or to do things for us, we do the same thing. Now, you have an industry that was losing money. Now, the next point was the industry that's been losing money has put out various statements concerning the accuracy of their technology, claiming as early as 2002 to be able to achieve 90% results in what's called the one-to-many application. That's where they check one person against a large database. The fact is, and I've provided statements to the government already concerning this, these are statements from people in senior positions of the biometric industry, that the testing was rigged or, quote-unquote, bogus testing, false testing, where the companies knew exactly what expectations the government had, so they set up the test, rigged it, in order to be able to achieve those results. And they went further than that, if that's not bad enough. They went public and told the public, in print, any passenger would feel much safer knowing this technology was used. Now, we're not talking about an industry that builds washing machines. We're talking about an industry that provides protection for your children, my children, grandchildren, etc. Now, they were desperate because they were losing money year after year. Now, what's also important about this industry is some of the most important people in government that have left government have joined this industry. On the board of directors of L1 Identity Solutions sits George Tenet, the former head of the CIA, Louis Freeh, the former head of the FBI, and Admiral James Loy, the former head of the TSA. They sit on the board of directors. Paid employees include Frank Moss, a former Under Secretary of State for Passport Services with the State Department.
Okay, Mark, yeah. Here we go again. You were okay for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden
it must be a phone line problem.
Okay. All right, we'll try it again. Go ahead.
Okay, in addition to Frank Moss is Admiral Hathaway. Admiral Hathaway headed a number of U.S. intelligence agencies. So the point being, what you have here is a company with a number of influential people that have just come out of government. You have a government, which are DHS, that wants to create this international biometric enrollment system. So you can say, why would they want to do this anyway? The point is, what they are doing in England...
Mark, do me a favor. I mean, I know you can't...
on the cell phone?
Yes, yeah, call me back because you're breaking up so bad that we cannot hear you.
I'll be right back.
Okay. Now, while we're waiting on Mark, you know, this is fascinating to me, folks, because I was under the impression that since 9/11, that they were talking about implementing the Real ID Act simply because it was going to be easier for them to track. And if you're not a terrorist, you'll take the Real ID. And if you are a terrorist, then they can track you up because you didn't take the Real ID. And you know, the propaganda that they push out there. At any rate, now we're finding out that these people, goes back to all the way to 1986, and from what I am going to assume, my suspicions are that, yes, the Iraq war started, these people are losing money because they didn't get it implemented as quickly as possible, so they have waited for these people to come out of government, they've probably enticed them with massive amounts of money to come onto their board of directors and push their political influence to get this thing passed quicker. We're going to find out when Mark gets back. Is he back on the line yet? Is it John? Hello, are you back, Mark? I guess he's not back yet. Okay, I think he mentioned he was going to call back on the cell phone. This is John, right? John? Okay, I wasn't sure who was in there on the board. Okay, all right, we've got Mark back up on the line. Mark, you with me?
Yeah, can you hear me better now?
Yeah, let's try it again. Go ahead.
Okay. As I was saying, you have a number of factors in play. And DHS, what they want to do is what we're seeing in England. In England, you've got thousands and thousands of surveillance cameras. We have cities in the United States now, such as New York and Chicago, that are implementing similar systems. In a surveillance setting or application, biometric facial recognition does not work well at all. But this is like the 1986 Commercial Driver's License Act. Even though the technology isn't ready today, the government wants to have the cameras in place and the databases with our digital image already done. So when the technology catches up, they simply use the technology. Now, the problem with all this is yours and mine most sensitive information.
Mark, you just cut out. I think, did we lose you?
I'm here.
Okay. Repeat what you just said because you cut out and we didn't hear a word you said.
Okay. In this sharing of information that I was speaking, governments signed an agreement 2 weeks ago with the European Union. Part of that agreement calls for people's names, their religious preference, their age, their sexual orientation. There are 19 categories of information that the European Union is being required to submit to the Department of Homeland Security before European passengers enter the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We in kind, and even though you won't read about it, when we're involved in those kind of treaties, they are reciprocal, provide information to countries in Europe, period. Now,
Mark, you know what?
It's not working.
I'm sorry. You're only getting about a half a sentence out, and it's cutting out. And I don't know whether it's the area that you're in, or if you're on a cell phone, the part of the house that you're in. But you know, in all honesty, this isn't working. We need to get a clear connection, or we'll have to terminate this interview because I can't understand what it is that you're. I can get about half of what you're saying, partner. Can you try one more time calling me back on the other phone during the break?
Yeah.
We'll be back in 3. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, live from Phoenix, Arizona. Stick with us.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to try this one more time. Mark, I called back again. I believe he's on a cordless phone. Mark, are you with me?
Yeah, we're trying something different this time.
Okay, because I'll tell you what, in all honesty, it was terrible. We were only picking up about half of what you were saying. So let's go back, okay? Start over from about 3 sentences ago.
Okay.
And continue. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, we're sharing information with other governments. Other governments are sharing information with us. We have an industry that's been involved in deceitful rigged testing, exaggerated results. They're desperate because they've gone years without making any money. Every year's a loss. We have a Department of Homeland Security that believes it's in the best interest of all Americans to share their most personal and sensitive information with other governments, in order to be able to receive information back from those other governments. Now, with regard to the Real ID Act, 2 states, New York and Washington State, that both recently worked with the Department of Homeland Security and agreed that they would produce driver's licenses with RFID chips and biometrics. And those driver's licenses will be allowed to be used in lieu of a passport. So what we've done now is taken a state driver's license and not just made it a federal document, it's now become an international document because it is being accepted in lieu of a passport. And this is only the beginning. The Department of Homeland Security has already informed everyone that they will be continuing this project of border states using these licenses on both the northern and the southern border. Now, there's a program, WHTI, Western Hemisphere Trade Initiative. Many people are familiar with the SPP, Security and Prosperity Partnership, known as the North American Union. People have been talking about that. People are opposed to it. WHTI actually goes into effect this year. And this calls for a number of countries in the Western Hemisphere, including the Bahamas, to set up a similar system using biometric identification. Our borders are not going to be secure. They are going to become seamless. Now, here's the problem. When we start exchanging information with other countries and accepting their IDs and they accept ours, a recent investigation found that a number of Middle Eastern, well, people of Middle Eastern, heritage, descent, whatever, background, have gone to Mexico, had legal name changes, and received Mexican identification and obviously in the new name. Now, we don't have any way of ensuring what the backgrounds are of the people that Mexico gives identification to. So these Middle Eastern people that go to Mexico, change their name from Arabic to an Hispanic name, have Mexican identification, and they are allowed to enter our country without us having any idea who they really are. So this idea that the Real ID Act is going to provide security, it won't. It creates a seamless border where we now will have to rely on the Canadian and the Mexican authorities to do thorough background checks of people they give identification to. That's issue number one. The other issue involved with the Real ID Act is there are a lot of people that have fundamental problems with the Real ID Act based on First Amendment that the government shall make no law restricting, and you get into freedom of religion. A lot of Christians, many that I speak with, groups, citing Revelation 13, 16, and 17, the mark of the beast. What you have is fingerprinting or the hand, and the forehead would be the facial recognition. But it's not just the fingerprint and the facial recognition. There's a company in Missouri, SoMark, that actually uses a tattoo for RFID technology rather than a chip, a tattoo. So there are a lot of Christians opposed to this. There are a lot of Jewish groups opposed to it. It reminds them of the Holocaust. There are a lot of Mennonites, Amish, because they don't believe their pictures should be taken. That would be basically the grounds for the First Amendment challenges. The Fourth Amendment is the exchanging of information, obviously the privacy concerns. Then you get to the Tenth Amendment, which is critical. Because the government is going to decide the standards for who is allowed to get this RD, or ID, what happens is your state government that is supposed to be in control of your identification has now given up that right to the federal government. And what that means is your state loses sovereignty. But even worse than that, our country loses sovereignty when we enter into these treaties that create these unions. Just like in the European Union, where you might have Italy, Germany, France, they are not as strong as countries now. They have given up much of their sovereignty to be a part of the European Union. We are heading the same direction with what we're doing in the Western Hemisphere, whether it's WHTI or SPP. But the one thing that's common to all these programs is the need for biometric identification cards. And what we're talking about is an industry that's desperate, that's been losing money, that's been involved in deceitful testing, over-exaggeration of results, and even one step further, the biometric technologies as a whole are not hard to defeat. You can duplicate people's fingerprints. You can even duplicate their facial image, believe it or not. So what we're talking about here is under the name of security, and actually they say it will help reduce identity theft. The fact is about identity theft, this is going to greatly increase identity theft. Anytime you give people, we'll call them criminals for argument's sake, identity thieves, anytime you give them such a rich prize as a database with so many Americans' personal information, just as the FBI, VA, and everybody else has had databases compromised, the identity thieves are going to go after these state DMV databases for information.
Let me stop you here. We've got to go to a break. All right. We'll be right back, and we'll go to Larry from Montana. We'll let you finish the thought. Be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains three DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Back, Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my special guest Mark Lerner, talking about the Real ID Act. And Mark, I want you to finish your thought on the or the statement that you were making on the identity thieves, because we've got callers calling in. And I haven't even put out the call numbers yet, so go ahead.
Well, here's with identity thieves. This is the situation: when you make the prize, the trophy of being able to break in or hack a database, so The prize is worth so much for an identity thief. You are begging for that person to find a way to hack into a system, to compromise it. Now, in the past, they've had no problem. The Department of Motor Vehicles office in Las Vegas 2 years ago, it was actually broken into. Information was compromised. The company that provided the biometrics or made the licenses in that state was a company called Digimart. After the robbery or the burglary of the building, the company and the state came out and said, you don't have any reason to worry. The information is encrypted, and our hard drives are wiped clean each night. The reality was, much later, the company admitted, Digimart, the biometric and license company, their database was not encrypted, and it had not been wiped clean each night. So what you have here is a situation that if I tell you if you rob a store you're going to get $50, you may not want to do it because of the penalty. But if I tell you if you rob a convenience store you're going to get $500 million, you're going to find a way to do it. And that's what the Real ID Act does by linking all state DMV databases. And you not only have to worry about hackers, we have had numerous instances over the years of DMV employees from the inside giving away license forms, blanks, and also putting erroneous information in for people in order for them to get driver's licenses. So this is a situation that's got to be stopped before it happens, because with databases, once the information's in them, it's much like emails. You cannot delete it. It's there somewhere in cyber world. And if these people, the identity thieves, or even worse, terrorists, get a hold of this information, there's no getting it back. And another thing about biometrics and databases, if you lose a credit card or if you you lose your checkbook, you can replace those kind of things. But if you have your biometrics compromised, you can't replace them. So if I want to put you at a crime scene, all I need to do is take your fingerprints. And this is a real problem. Nobody is looking at this down the road in terms of why are we using these technologies, what do we want them to do, what's going to be the end result. When we vote on each piece of legislation, when congressmen do, they look at that act and that's it. And nobody has put these acts together. A lot of people are out there on a lot of stations talking about the Real ID Act and why they oppose it. But the fact of the matter is...
Here we go. We're starting up with the phone cutting out again.
You can't hear me?
Go ahead.
Okay. My point is this. Nobody is looking at the bigger picture, and we have people talking about worst-case scenarios, that if it's implemented, this is what's going to happen. I am going to Washington, D.C. I'm leaving actually tomorrow morning. I'll be there next week talking with several congressmen and senators and their staffs about the information I turned over to the government a year and a half ago to one agency that has not been acted on yet. And I am going to point out to the congressmen and senators that this technology, biometrics, it doesn't work as advertised. The people involved in the industry at the highest level have known it for years. There's been false or bogus testing, and the American public demands that this be stopped, the Real ID Act. And if you stop the Real ID Act, you are going to stop a lot of these other programs because they all depend on biometric identification. Now, I have no problem with tamper-proof driver's licenses. That's fine with me. We should have tamper-proof driver's licenses. But there is literally no reason to include biometrics. If you can't look at somebody's license and then look at their face and believe that that's the right person or know that's the same person, you got a problem. Because mm-hmm. the biometrics aren't any more accurate in terms of determining that person being who they say they are than
Mark, you and I both know that they want the biometrics so a policeman can pull you over. This is just one of many scenarios. A policeman can pull you over and swipe your driver's license through one of his car computers in the car and know everything about you, including how many hairs you got on your hiney. I mean,
well,
that's
they can
what
do more than
do.
That. If right. you go to Pinellas County, Florida, or any one of a number of cities, they actually have digital cameras now installed on the dashboards of police cars. Those cameras, right. if you're stopped for a busted taillight, you stand in front of the camera captures your image via internet, it sends it back to a database that checks to see if there are any wants or warrants anywhere for you. Now, being that this technology is not foolproof, there is a good likelihood that people are going to be detained or arrested based on what we call a false match. It's happened before with both fingerprints and facial recognition. So what you end up with is a case where you're having to prove your innocence instead of the government proving that you're guilty of anything.
Right. Let me stop you, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mark. Listen, I've got a caller. I haven't even put out the phone. I haven't put out the call-in number yet, but I've got callers on the line that have been holding for about 15 minutes. I was going to say there's so much to say in such a short time to say it. I'm going to take these callers. I'm going to go to Lurie in Montana and then Clinton in Wisconsin, and then we're going to get back to our subject matter. So let's go to Lurie in Montana. Lurie, you're on with Mark and Michael. Go ahead.
Hello, Mike.
Hi.
This Real ID card we're going to end up with in 08 was brought to the United States by a guy named Etzini. DMV stations 2 years ago, and he told them this is what they're going to do. And so that's the story behind it, with the help of England. And basically, he came to the United States, and he said, although I'm an Israelite, I'm a U.S. citizen, too. He went to all 50 states, and basically, he just said, these are the rules, live by them.
Excuse me, but, you know, forgive me for being a little naive here, but how can a guy walk in from Israel that is basically nobody here and tell, you know, people that here's the rules, live by them, and this is what we're going to do, so we're doing it? I mean,
right.
Who is this guy?
He works for the DMV, he works for the Real ID. And basically, he's from Israel. You can find that if you go to Anti-Communitarian League, Nikki Rapana. And if you look that up, he went to every state in the union and gave them the instructions what they're going to do.
Can I interject something?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Comment on it. Go ahead.
Okay. And with all due respect to your caller, this issue, and I want to be as respectful as I can. There's a reason right now that 70% of the public is in favor of this, whatever you want to call it, national ID, real ID license.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is when we talk out against the real ID or opposition,
right,
we need to stick with facts. The Real ID Act had nothing to do with anything that happened in this country 2 years ago or anybody coming from Israel.
Yes, it does.
Let me finish. If you go back and look at the 1986 Commercial Driver's License Act, you will see that licenses with biometrics were already approved, passed into law as far back as 86.
Through the UN.
Besides that, hold on. When the 9/11 Commission made their recommendations, which was before 2 years ago, they called for something along the lines of a national ID. Third of all, each state is responsible and has their own procurement office where they decide through RFIs and RFPs who is going to be getting contracts for producing their driver's licenses. Every state has a different time that they go through this process. States don't do it all at once. And I can assure you... Look, sir, you know, this is a problem. When we try to reach out to mainstream America and build this bridge so we can get 70% of the people that are in favor of this, more of them to come to understand they don't want it, if we don't stick to the facts and talk precisely...
These are the facts.
Excuse me, let me interject. We don't have a lot of time here. I tell you, you know...
I'm not going to argue with him, and I'm not arguing with anybody, but...
Well, sir, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What makes you think in any way, shape, or form, from the time a state sends out an RFI, do you know what an RFI is?
Yes.
Okay, it's a request for information. Mm-hmm. It's an announcement that they're going to be issuing a contract, and they're going to have basically a competition to see which company is going to get awarded that contract. That process takes almost a year to a year and a half to complete. So there is no way possible that anybody could have come to the United States 2 years ago and had that process completed because the Real ID Act was passed in the legislation 2 years ago. And the federal government does not decide which companies produce licenses in each state. So there is absolutely no way that there could be 1 ounce of truth. I'm not saying you haven't been told that, and I'm sure you're a good person. But this is absolutely not the case. And this is why it's important when we talk to 70% of the country that's in favor of this, that we do so using the facts. Now, I turned over the information to the government about the biometrics industry 2 years ago. If we don't stick to the facts and talk about the testing that was rigged, the exaggeration of the results, what the companies have done to hide false positives and matches, if we don't stick to those facts, we're not going to get that 70% of the public to join us.
Well,
now, I'm going to Washington, D.C. There are a number of media outlets.
All right, listen, we don't have, I've only got a few minutes left here, and I got callers on. Larry, thanks for the call. We'll have to take it up another time. All right, thanks, man. All right, Mark. I mean, you know, as a certified investigator looking at the preponderance of the evidence based upon what you're saying, you've got all your ducks in a row, and then Larry calls in here and says some guy that's a double citizen walked over here a year ago and said, well, this way it's going to be, so that's the way it's going to be. I mean, if I was to make a determination, I'd say, you know, you're right, he's wrong. I don't know. I honestly don't get a really good grip on what he was talking about.
Well,
because
the problem is he didn't know what he was talking about. So it wasn't you, it was him.
Okay, but we got another caller here. Let's go to Clinton in Wisconsin. Clinton, you're on with Mark and Michael. Go ahead.
Hello, Michael.
I'm sorry to have you hold so long, buddy.
No, that's okay. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
I know what I'm talking about, and here's some facts, all right? Fact number one, encryption is a sense of false security. There is no more thing called encryption anymore. James McCanney has proved that 99% of all computer encryption, which I'm a part of in the industry, is based on a prime number theory, and it's been cracked. Point number two, hackers are not needed to hack into any kind of database because the DMV still sells their databases to many approved organizations. I was in prison with a man for a long time, and he's already let me know I can still get anybody's DMV information I want. Fact number three, Satan Brenner and former governor of Wisconsin, Tommy the Traitor Thompson, the latter being a member of the chairman of the board of Applied Solutions, a digital angel people, has been stumping all over the country trying to get hospitals to chip little babies. Fact number four, Wisconsin supports religious objections, so you don't have to put your photo on your driver's license. I do not have my photo on my driver's license. I'm not going to listen to any phony preacher or you, sir, or anybody else tell me what the mark of the beast is. The Spirit led me. Fact number five, Wisconsin has statutes forbidding compulsory chipping. Now, all this stuff can be proven. Now, I'm open to discussion if you want. Otherwise, I'll let somebody else call in.
Well, wait.
Right, Mark. Go ahead, Mark.
Let's go one thing at a time here.
Which
number
one you want?
I'm not in favor of the Real ID Act. Number two, what Wisconsin does or what they're doing in that state, I can't address that. I don't know particularly what they are doing, if they're using biometrics or not in Wisconsin. But I will tell you this. The Real ID Act is already federal law. States can oppose it, but if they do, the citizens that don't have that Real ID license will not be able to enter a federal building. Now, you may not care, but the people that are on Social Security and Medicare, or they want to address grievances with their senators or congressmen, they won't be able to go into a federal building. They won't be able to use a federal park or campground. They won't be able to fly commercially. They won't be able to take the rails or Amtrak. So there is a real reason that even if you decide not to get that ID card, and I don't blame you a bit, and I think it's great that your picture's not on your license. More power to you. But the bottom line is, the people that don't go along with this, you can call it voluntary if you'd like. I call it basically coercion, because if you don't have this license, you're going to have real problems. Banks are going to acquire it. This is why it involves, again, Christianity. You talk about the mark of the beast. I'm not preaching to you. But Revelation 13, 16, and 17 talks about buying and selling, not being able to buy or sell with the mark unless you have it. So that's why a lot of Christians do care about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Why you would want to get outraged with me as somebody who came forward as a whistleblower to expose what was going on, I don't understand.
Well,
but I'll tell you this.
I have
one
point of contention with your comments today, and that was that you did say things that inferred to me that you do support driver licenses and with photos on them, and I don't even support a driver's license.
Wait a minute. When did I ever say that I support driver's licenses?
About three or four minutes ago.
No, I didn't.
Both of you gentlemen acknowledged that there should be a strong kind of ID on a driver's license.
No, what I said is I support tamper-proof driver's license.
Well, I don't even support a driver license.
Well, then
it's
I
tyranny.
Can't help you, sir.
And licensing is fascism.
Well,
okay.
Sir, I'm sorry.
All right,
for
all right, Clinton.
Thank you, Mr.
Right.
Herzog. Bye.
Goodbye.
Unbelievable.
Hey, I apologize, man. I mean, you know, I
And this is how we're going to wake up the rest of the country to what's going on.
Yeah, I hear you.
The good guys are in trouble.
We've got a problem here. We've got a serious problem.
We've got a lot of good people in your audience, Mike, and I encourage them to pick up their phones, call their senators, call their congressmen, call their state representatives, tell them that you oppose the Real ID Act. But I'll just tell you, people.
Go ahead, Mike. I was going to say, and it's not just the federal building and getting on an airplane and so forth. I mean, you've got enough experience. You didn't crawl out from behind a rock yesterday. It's creeping imperialism. It's that. Then it's you won't be able to drive your car down the road, or you won't be able to go into a grocery store. It'll just continue
on.
Well,
let me give you another example. In Austin, Texas, they actually have a pilot program where they're using the driver's license instead of a credit card. You swipe it on the machine, and the machine, through a third party company, deducts the money directly out of your bank account.
Oh my God. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stick with me, Mark. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Be right back.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Mark Lerner, talking about the Real ID Act. And, Mark, you were on the subject that you said in Austin, Texas, they have a pilot program going on with the driver's licenses. Go ahead and continue your thought.
Yeah, the driver's license is swiped just the way a credit card would be. And, excuse me, the driver's license actually results in your checking account or savings account being deducted.
Seriously?
Just as a debit card would.
Really? Your driver's license goes automatically in your bank account?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, look, I understand there are a lot of people out there that have a lot of problems with a lot of the things our government's been doing, especially the last 4 or 5 years. We've had less transparency in government than ever. We've looked at the Patriot Act. We're looking at the Real ID Act and things like North American Union SPP. I understand people want to believe that there's basically no hope. We have no control. But here's the answer. The answer is some are guilty. There are people that are doing bad things, and they should be put in jail. But we're all responsible. If Americans will wake up and they will get involved instead of 40, 45, 50% voting in national elections, 15% voting in local elections, if Americans will wake up and give a damn, to put it bluntly, okay, and realize their children and their grandchildren's futures are at stake, and they get involved, we can stop this. The people do have the power. It's only when we allow the people in office to believe they have the power that we lose our constitutional rights.
Well, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Mark. The bottom line is that they cannot do anything to us because we're the masses unless we allow them to.
You're absolutely right, Mike. And that's why I don't know why people want to argue with me. You know, I come forward out of the industry as a confidant of the people at the highest levels of the industry, turn over information to the government. Here I am going to Washington next week to meet with senators and congressmen to fight the case against the Real ID Act. And I get people on the phone that want to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. That scares me. Not because, you know, I don't feel like what I'm doing is appreciated. It scares me because we have to reach out across that bridge to the 70% of the public in favor of these kind of things and show them why they can't trust the companies, the technology, or the people in government that are implementing these programs. And we're not going to get to that 70% by suggesting, you know, some of these things that have been suggested today. We have to stick to the facts.
If we continue down this path and we do nothing about it, we're going to wind up in a cashless society with an RFID chip up our nose.
You're exactly right, Mike.
Uh-huh.
You are exactly right.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, Mark. I want to appreciate I really thank you for coming on today and sharing that with us. And I want to wish you all the luck in Washington that, you know.
Well, thank you, Mike. I apologize for the connection problems. I don't know what's going on in the area. Who knows?
Oh, I don't know. But at any rate, you know, I would like to have you up again at some point, find out if you made any progress there, because I'll tell you what, I agree with you, my friend. This needs to be stopped.
I will call you when I get back from Washington.
Thank you so much, Mark. All right. Good luck to you, sir. Thank you for coming on. All right. Bye-bye. Mark Lerner. The Real ID Act is just a precursor to the RFID chip, the cashless society. They've got all these cameras, and I don't know where you live, folks, but in Phoenix, Arizona, I see these cameras all over the place. I see them on the freeway. I see them in shopping malls, the Metro Mart. They're all over the place, folks, and even if they don't work now, they're going to be working as soon as all this biometric stuff is implemented, so we've got to put a stop to this. Listen, happy Thursday to you, okay? I'll be back tomorrow with my guest, Jim Fetzer. We're going to talk about 9/11 alternative theories. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a good rest of the day. Bye-bye.